אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
שלום אוסטרליה. Last night, the IDF announced the deaths of 5 more soldiers killed during fighting in the Gaza Strip over the weekend, bringing the toll of slain troops in the ground offensive against Hamas to 144. On Wednesday, Tzahal announced that Australian-born Miluin Captain Lior Sivan from Bet Shemesh, 32 years old, fell in battle in the south of the Gaza Strip. He was a combat officer in the 363rd Battalion, the 10th Harael Brigade. The United Nations Security Council on Friday approved a resolution that called for urgent and extended humanitarian pauses and corridors throughout the Gaza Strip for a sufficient number of days to enable full, rapid, safe and unhindered humanitarian access. The United States and Russia abstained from the vote. US Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield praised the resolution as a compromise, but has abstained from voting in favor of it after the text failed to include a condemnation of Hamas. The US has been urging Israel to find a way to increase the quantity and the speed of humanitarian aid reaching Gazans. Israel has said that further steps are dependent on the release of hostages. This week began with some hope that a new deal could be brokered for the return of hostages taken captive by Hamas on October 7th, but ended with Hamas's refusal to continue negotiations. 129 hostages remain in the hands of Hamas and Islamic Jihad. At least 21 have been killed in captivity. On Friday, Israel announced the death of dual U.S.-Israeli citizen Gadi Haggai, aged 73, who was taken with his wife Judy near Kibbutz Nir Oz on the 7th of October. It's believed his remains are being held by Hamas in Gaza. It's unclear exactly how or where he died. The IDF has confirmed the deaths of 21 hostages, with the bodies of only 8 of them having been recovered by Israel. The task of determining the deaths of hostages held in Gaza has fallen to an independent committee of 3 leading Israeli medical professionals and rabbis. The importance of having rabbis on the committee is twofold: to allow families to sit shiva if they desire to do so, and to avoid the situation of more than necessary agunot, women whose husbands' fates are not determined, so they would not be able to remarry. Adding to the pressure on the government to find a way to release the hostages is the psychological warfare being waged by the terror groups who took them hostage on October 7th. On Monday, Hamas released a video showing Chaim Perry, aged 79, Yoram Metzger, aged 80, and Amiram Cooper, aged 84, pleading for their release. Chaim Perry speaks to the camera, saying he and other elderly hostages who have health issues are suffering greatly in very harsh conditions. He was at his house in Kibbutz near Oz when he gave himself up to Hamas gunmen on October 7th to save his wife, who was able to remain hidden. Family members commented on the weight loss of the hostages. On Tuesday, the military wing of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad terror group published a video of hostages 79-year-old Gadi Moses and farmer and social activist Elad Katsir, in which they called on Israel's leadership to urgently act to bring about their release. They appear to be reading from a script. The families of the hostages and supporters across the nation continue to put pressure on the government and military to prioritize their release over other military goals in Gaza. Last night, in the rain, another protest was held in Tel Aviv, attended by hundreds. Israeli negotiating officials met throughout the week with Qatari sources in Europe as Israel continued to search for a way to negotiate another round of releases. But on Thursday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu firmly rejected a Hamas demand to permanently halt fighting before the terror group releases any more hostages being held. Netanyahu said, "We are fighting until victory. We will not stop the war until we achieve all its goals, completing the destruction of Hamas and releasing all of our hostages." And Hamas official announced that a total ceasefire and a retreat of the Israeli occupation army from the Gaza Strip are a precondition for any serious negotiation on a hostage-prisoner swap. Despite this claim, Qatar-based Hamas political bureau leader Ismail Haniyeh visited Egypt on Wednesday for talks with the country's intelligence chief Abbas Kamel. It is believed that their discussions included a possible ceasefire and hostage release. On Tuesday, President Herzog, told a gathering of foreign diplomats that Israel is ready for another humanitarian pause and additional humanitarian aid in order to enable the release of hostages, and the responsibility lies fully with Hamas's Gaza Strip chief, Sinwar, and the leadership of Hamas. The IDF and Shin Bet said yesterday that more than 200 Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad terror operatives were captured in the Gaza Strip over the past week and have been brought into Israel for questioning by the Shin Bet and Military Intelligence Directorate's Unit 504. The announcement said that some of the captured Hamas and Islamic Jihad operatives were hiding within the civilian population and later surrendered to troops. This brings the total number of operatives brought into Israel to 700. Throughout the week, Israel announced the destruction of dozens more Hamas installations, including rocket launching sites and a network of tunnels reaching from the south to the north of the Gaza Strip, wide enough for trucks to pass through, with entrance shafts in schools and hospitals. They also showed stashes of weapons in schools and children's rooms in homes. They announced the killing of many of Hamas's leaders, including those responsible for planning the October 7th massacre, and the capture of documents and computers showing the extent of preparation for the attack and further plans to infiltrate the country. Despite the claims of military success and UN evidence that up to 18% of the Gaza Strip has been laid waste, rockets continue to be fired into Israel even yesterday. Ashkelon, which last week allowed schools to open for the first time since October 7th, was again targeted. During the week, there were further barrages of rockets reaching the Tel Aviv area. In the north, Hezbollah has increased its bombardments on population centers, most of which have been evacuated. Kiryat Shmona has suffered several direct hits, damaging buildings and cars. Hezbollah has been responsible for at least 3 deaths and several injuries, including on civilians who've returned to the area to try to salvage agricultural crops. Nearly 200,000 Israelis have been forced to leave their homes in the south and in the north due to the war. Whole communities from the south have been rehoused for an undetermined time as they have no homes to which to return. Last night, Israel claimed that the drone fired at a tanker off the coast of India was launched directly from Iran. The ship, a Liberia-flagged chemical products tanker with a small Israeli share of ownership, sustained damage, but there were no casualties. There were no immediate claims of responsibility for the strike. However, as the attack occurred some 200 nautical miles southwest of Erival in India, it's unlikely to have been carried out from Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. Yemen's Iran-aligned Houthi rebels have launched more than 100 drone and missile attacks targeting 10 merchant vessels in the Red Sea since October 7th. Yesterday, the White House publicly released U.S. intelligence that Iran provided drones, missiles, and tactical intelligence to the Houthis, who control vast parts of Yemen, including the capital Sana'a. Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister, Ali Bagheri, denied the claim, saying the resistance, that's Houthis, has its own tools and acts in accordance with its own decisions and capabilities. The fact that certain powers, such as the Americans and the Israelis, suffer strikes from the resistance movement should in no way call into question the reality of the strength of the resistance in the region. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.